I question God and my faith all the time. I question him on the big stuff and the little stuff. Some of you may or may not know the situation I call my hurricane year that happened between 2014 and 2015. There was two of the worst situations piled on top of me at once. Two people in my life had cancer, and another was going through a divorce. I won't lie to you and say I was steadfast in my faith, because I wasn't. I was angry at God. Going to church wasn't joyous. It was a chore. I couldn't understand why I needed to go praise and sing shouts of glory to this guy who had made my life a living hell. It took me a long time to come around to the fact that God truly existed, that he cared for me. It took me a long time to come around to that. Youth group especially gave me a space to ask the tough questions and see God working through people, whether it be service projects or growing with God conversations. That being said, I talk to God on a daily basis about the most pressing questions too. Why, God, do we have things like poverty, illness, crime, hate, and horribly cold weather in the beginning of May? Every day, we have moments of weakness where we ask God why, question his plans for us or this world. We see this in the readings today too. In our first lesson, Saul questions says, "Who are you, Lord?" But we see this even more in the gospel. Typically, John 21, 1 through 19 is a scripture that's full of joy that the Son of God has been resurrected and his disciples are finally receiving the great news. But there's a sneaky little line, line 14, that says this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. It's extremely easy to gloss over this detail, too, because let's be honest, the bounty of fish and Simon Peter's dive team performance are much more fun parts of this story than the part that Jesus' disciples are skeptical for even a second, let alone three times, that the Son of God was who he said he was. I can only imagine the mental gymnastics the disciples had to do. Their teacher, dare I say best friend, was crucified, and why on earth would he be walking again, breaking bread with them again? To them, up until this moment, it just didn't seem plausible, which is understandable. Even the OG 12 of our church questioned their faith. I'm sure there was a time in your life where you questioned or even lost faith, and looking back now, you wish you hadn't. Because most of the time, we lose it during circumstance. I was speaking with someone the other day about church and faith, and they said to me, "I don't understand how someone could go through their hardships in life without God, or at least their church family." Now, this is completely optional, but by a show of hands, how many people have gone through a rough patch in their life and completely dismissed God? I rest my case. Sometimes we distance ourselves from God, and our faith may be the size of a mustard seed. But as many have said, God works in mysterious ways. When we question our faith, we begin casting our nets on the other side of the boat, dragging for answers. We work through doubts, struggle through our hardships, in order to get that bounty in the net. When we question what we know and learn in Christianity, we discover why, what, and why we believe all over again. That, to me, is true faith. And maybe you still feel guilty. Maybe you still feel that because you even doubted that you're full of sin. I have and do often. When I'm driving, I listen to the news. And I always have a conversation with God, asking him why. Why do horrible people exist? Why do horrible situations exist? And why is it 40 degrees in the middle of spring? Then I get nervous. I'll kind of sit there and look around. Is he going to punish me? I got pretty volatile and judgy, but I just don't understand. But the good news is you have some salvation. Number one, questioning your faith is not a sin. Nowhere does it say having doubts is a bad thing. Based on the reading today, I would dare to say that God wants you to spend time doubting so you can find true faith. And number two, even if you're questioning sinfully with a mean-spirited or hypocritical heart that will eventually get you where you need to be going, you have the greatest mystery of all times on your side. Jesus was crucified so you could spend time lost, casting your net, possibly cussing at it because you just can't catch anything and you don't understand why. Jesus will always be there, waiting to fill your net because he loves you. Sometimes you may not recognize him on the edge of the beach, arms outstretched. You may even question why he wants you to cast your net on the other side. But when you finally find true faith, it will no longer be the size of a mustard seed, but a net full of 153